Welcome back to Witches DNA 101. It might be a little noisy in my background. Please forgive. My grandbaby is here and my son is taking a lunch break from studying. So today I'm going to talk to you. We're continuing these episodes on Yule or Yule. And last podcast, I kind of briefly touched on the meaning, the real meaning of Yule, or Yule as we know it here in America, and Christmas. Okay, so Yule is not Christmas, and Christmas is not Yule, or Yule, as you may know it. Ugh, sorry for the noise. Yule is a Y-U-L-E, or Yole, J-O-L, however you want to pronounce it or spell it, is a pagan holiday. Like in Rome, way back, because Yule existed way before Christianity. Okay, Yule was here before Christ. Yes, that is true. And in Rome, Christmas, actually celebrated in December, was a really big, happy, robust, raunchy, debauchery-filled, all-out fun celebration called Saturnalia, or the celebration of Saturn. Then along comes the church. You know, Rome, they was having orgies, and there was free spirits all the way around. There wasn't really anything. The church, the church was not around to say, you can't do that, you're going to hell, or whatever. Everything was just cool. If it was fun, you do it. There was no restrictions really on the fun that you had. Their gay love wasn't gay because it was just normal. It was romantic. It was just everything was just so open. And then along comes the church. And the church wanted to put a stop into everything. Everybody's having too much fun. And this has been going on, remember, long before they even formed. So, this was a mainstay in the Roman culture. It was a mainstay. And as the church went about trying to brainwash or cleanse people of their sins and say, come follow us, you will be saved from your freedom of expression, They ran into a huge roadblock. The church ran into a huge roadblock, and that roadblock was that they could not change. They could not take the Saturnalia celebration from them because it was something so ingrained in them is who they were. So in order to lure them over to their side, in order for the church to lure the Romans that they could lure over to their side, they used Christ, Jesus the Christ. They chose, the church chose December 25th as Christ's birthday. Except they lied. They lied to them. The very thing, the very structure that was giving, offering, sanctification, was actually offering poison. Poison in the form of lies. Because the church chose December 25th as Christ's birth. And that was a lie. It's not the date that the manger scene happened at all, not even close. So December is a time of Yule for Druids. It marks the coming of winter and the shortening of days. The sun is celebrated. And the church took this celebration, they took creative liberty in taking the sun, S-U-N, as in what you see in the sky. The celebration of that sun and making it the celebration of the sun, S-O-N, of God. And a lot of cultures, even back in the Egyptian days, saw the sun as a god. So you kind of see how things are getting intermingled here because of the Son of God. Instead, they just took the U out and put the O. So the sun is celebrated. It's a celebration of light, and Jesus is the light of the world. The sun is a celebration of light as it goes into a soft slumber on the solstice day, being the shortest day of the year. Yule is not the same as Christmas, and it was widely celebrated before Christianity was even born. So it wasn't even just the Romans, the Druids, who were witches even before the Bible was written. Because remember, the book of Genesis is not the book about the beginning of time. It's a written reflection of what. Was downloaded as was spiritually downloaded as the beginning. Okay. Anything in the Bible that is written by man, which is the whole Bible, has fallacy in it because humans are naturally fallible. So, Yule not being the same as Christmas, it gives reference to Odin or Yofal. I cannot pronounce these Scandinavian names, okay? Which most similarly translates to your father, which again, quite similarly translates to Father Christmas. And I don't think it's any coincidence that Father Christmas, your father, looks just like Santa Claus with the pointy hat and the long beard. Odin was a Norse god. Santa is a Norse character. Mama. And right here, it just does not surprise me again that the church would try and steer people away from that because they wanted their whole focus to be on the mission, on their mission, which was to convert. And they couldn't convert if people were seeing a God that they did not want them to, that was not who they wanted to convert people to. So yeah, it's like a current, there are different scholars, you know, schools of theologians and historians, even in Jesus the Christ's own culture. Mainly there, I'd say. And they all agree, and I would trust them more than anyone else. I would trust other people, but mainly them. But they all agree, though. That, and they've taken all of the stories of the nativity into account. And in fact, that is what has helped drive them to this conclusion. Very factual conclusion. Because people who follow Christianity do not have factual conclusions. Like people who actually know and live the culture, or people who actually scientifically study it without an angle, unbiased. So yeah, they all agree that this conclusion that's in the scripture that's in the Bible, like, for example, this one is, I mean, there's a lot of powerful scriptures in the Bible that actually help come to this conclusion, but this one, watching their flocks by night. That would definitely not have happened in the winter. It would have happened in the spring. So why would the church lie? Why would the church take our culture away from us and transmute it into this big lie? And as I said before, the church was busy cleansing, brainwashing folks. And they wanted to peddle Christmas off in an agreeable way to make it more palatable to people. To make it more comfortable, more tasty, because it's something that they were already accustomed to. So when you hear people say that when we put the X-mas for Christmas, because we're jolly witches, we put reindeer and elves and Santa Claus as a decoration, when we teach our kids about things that are not related to any biblical teaching, and we get criticized, ridiculed, shunned for taking Christ out of Christmas. Remember this. Gift giving, Santa Claus and reindeers and elves and such are the correct ways to bring cheer to the Xmas holiday. Because it's not taking Jesus out of Christmas, since he was never in it to begin with. Jesus was never in Christmas. So there's no possible way to take him out of Christmas since he was never in it to begin with. So by giving you Santa Claus and all the fun stuff, we're actually removing the lies. We're removing the lies and telling the truth. And you can kind of see the power that the church has over people. That for centuries, people have really thought Christ was born on December 25th. Or even in the winter. It's Christmas is everything you know Christmas to be, just without the Jesus piece. Okay? Wait until spring for that. Okay? I mean, think about it. Imagine the disrespect that the church has had on the very figure that is pivotal, that is integral to their very faith. Odin is more sanctified, is more worthy of celebration in the winter than Christ. That's if y'all believe in Christ. But even if you don't believe in Christ, the history is very interesting. I mean, like, imagine folks celebrating your birthday on the wrong day every year for centuries, knowing they were wrong, but not giving a flying fig Newton. It does seem that those that don't identify religiously as Christians care more than those that do. Those people that do religiously identify as Christians. Knowledge. When you know, apply. That's wisdom, which is a journey on its own. So, we could talk about Yule celebrations. Now, what does everything that I mentioned mean as far as celebrating Yule? Yule is, in Wicca, Yule is a Sabbath. But as you guys know from my teachings, that witchcraft has Yule, has all these Sabbaths, that weren't called Sabbaths, but all these already existed before Wicca, which was, Wicca's only, is less than 100 years old. Witchcraft is, oh my God, the Druids existed way before Christianity. Okay. The Egyptians, the Old Testament existed way before Christianity. Okay, so. And yes, some people believe that the New Testament was a lie. It was just created to cook for the church to have, or the for there to be a certain sector of people to control others. That's a very real possibility. But back to Yule, your Christmas tree I mean, everybody calls it a Christmas tree. Your tree. And this can be fresh or it can be artificial. Okay? Everything, yes, we are witches, do revel in nature. We are nature-based people. But you don't have to be so fanatic about it if you don't want to be. If you want to get an artificial tree, get you an artificial tree. And there's a lot of reasons why people don't want to get real fresh trees. Because the pine needles, because they're afraid of starting a fire. And other safety measures, babies, animal companions, transportation, recycling or disposal complications, all kinds of great reasons not to get one. If you don't want to get one, don't get one. Don't feel you have to, because you're not being a good witch, or you're not being a witch if you don't get a fresh tree, because now you're an abomination to nature. You're not an abomination to nature at all. No matter, you'll be loved just the same as if you got a fresh tree or if you got an artificial tree. Just if you get a fresh tree, I mean, if you find some fairies amongst the way, then that is a very fun and deeply evolved experience that you won't get with an artificial tree. That's the difference. But if that does not concern you, don't worry about it. Okay? Because fairies are very tricky. They're not happy to see you all the time and flittering around and, you know, Disney in Disney universe. Okay? There's a real flip side to dealing with them. And yes, they can be very helpful and give us clues and blessings and find things and also lose things and from us. And they can give us enlightenment and actually bring us a valid way of viewing our own existence in a 3D universe instead of a 2D universe, in a 3D universe, because it takes us out of our, they can take us out of our awareness and bring us into something so spiritual that we see ourselves, our whole existence on a whole different plane. But they can bring us spiritual gifts and help us work through any entanglements or blockages that we have with that. They can bring us messages. They can deliver messages. They can, from us to others, they can bring us soul messages from the universe, from the trees, from, there's so much. But there's also that flip side, because they can be very, very temperamental. They can lose things on purpose. And it's always that side of the negative, of the demonic, that rides along with them, because they're on, it's like they're on that very thin line is where they exist. So you have to really know what you're doing. Okay? It's okay to encounter them, but to put yourself into their world, you have to. Don't lose yourself. Don't try to dissolve into their world. So, if you decide to go, whatever tree you decide to go for, like a fir or a pine, oak trees are nice. It doesn't have to be a standard tree, but those are traditionally what was used. Decorated, just like you would for, just like people decorate Christmas trees, decorate your tree. The star at the top represents the star, represents enlightenment and the fat and the star represents enlightenment. It represents light. And so that is why we put lights on Christmas trees, is because Yule celebrates the winter solstice, and it's the celebration of light, light being shed onto the world. You can also celebrate with not just the tree, just everything, all the symbolism, mostly all the symbolism of Christmas, sans or minus the nativity scene, is traditionally factual. So the only thing that turns Yule into Christmas is the nativity scene. That's it. Which doesn't belong, because it didn't happen in Yule, in December, in the winter. So, if you wanted to pull symbolism back away and pull it into where it belongs in Yule from Christianity, you could say with the nativity scene, they say Jesus is the light of the world that was born on Christmas Day. You could take that and you could take the sun of God. Remember, the sun is being worshipped, like the Egyptian cultures, the sun is being worshipped in Yule, Odin, and interestingly enough, and this is going to go for the next podcast, is in Italy there is the Santa Claus, is this kidnapping witch, and that when she comes down the chimney or boots or something like that is covered with a bunch of soot and stuff like that. So I'm saving that for the next podcast. But pull that. You could pull that in some creative way, reversing that. And instead of baby Jesus, give the celebration back its power, its segment of power that was taken back, that was taken from it by turning Christ from the Son, S-O-N, of God, back into the S-U-N. So, and that's what the celebration was. There's all different ways to celebrate it. There's all different ways to commemorate Yule. Drinking, you don't have to do Yule if you don't want to. Like one year, you might want to just do Saturnalia. Which was, I think, I believe Saturnalia was celebrated earlier. Because Yule starts on the 21st of December, I believe it is. I said this, I told you guys when it starts, when it's over, my podcast before this one. It's like it starts the 21st of December or something like that. And ends on the 1st of January, it's like 12 days. And Saturnalia, I believe, was at the beginning of December, like December 2nd or something around there. But yeah, so Christmas carols, play them Christmas carols, silver bells, Frosty the Snowman. Oh yeah, and Odin. Let me tell you guys that about Odin. Odin was known as the god of the hunt. Okay, so he represented the masculine, the nurturing in that way. He was a loving and caring god, figure. That had a very masculine I don't want to say way or tone, but it was very masculine. And he's the god of the hunt. He didn't harm or injure any animals, not in that way, but he was the god over the animalistic nature in nature and in all of us. And so that is where, and it was like goats, something about goats. And traditionally sacrifices of goats, something like that, were done during Yule. But if you're not into animal cruelty, don't do any of that. If that does not, if you're not sensitive to that, then you could probably like have goat for dinner or something like that, for Yule Tide dinner or something. The Yule log. There's a great history about that. Now the Yule log, in Irish, Norwegian, Scandinavian, all of this, Northern European, the Germanic people also celebrating Yule, and all of this stuff is going on already, okay? Way before the church. But with the Yule log, as you guys might know, a lot of you guys might not know, the Irish have a tradition with the Cladach ring. Cladach. I cannot pronounce these words, I swear. And my grandmother is Scandinavian and Irish. And oh my goodness, I'm tearing up these words. But the Cladach ring has deep meaning and symbolism. Excuse my grandbaby in the background. Has deep meaning and symbolism to it. So it is a ring, and it can be, it's normally a very simple ring, okay? Or it can be very elaborate, but I have yet to see one that costs like a diamond ring. But it could, because it's not about the materialism of it, it's about the meaning behind it. It's deeply meaningful. So it's a ring that has these pair of hands that are grasping a crown that has a heart on top. And the thing about it is about loyalty, friendship, and love. And the thing about it is that you can't go out and buy this for yourself. I mean, the meaning and symbolism is powerful. So powerful that you're like, oh man, I want one. Or I'm going to tattoo one on my body. No. Because then you're not doing anything. A clouded ring has to be given to you. You cannot ask for it. You cannot send somebody out to buy it for you. It has to be given to you from the heart of the person. Like a gift that you don't expect to get. And even if it's used as an engagement ring, that's the best way, one of the best ways to use it. It's the same for the Yule log. A Yule log, you cannot go out and get a Yule log. You see people baking Yule logs for their home or whatever. No. Yule logs are real, actually. It's a real log, oak, pine, whatever. And whatever you have available in your yard, you would take that and you would gift it to someone. Okay, that someone will burn the Yule log for the 12 days, the length of the Yuletide. On the last day, they will take a piece of the remaining Yule log, keep it for the next year, and when they're given the gift of another Yule log, they add that to it. And so this cycle continues, it repeats. They take that remaining piece, save it for the next year, they're given another Yule log, and they burn it. And this is a continuous thing, okay? And it has deep meaning to that as well. It's good tidings, it's love, it's joy, it's well-wishing, it's blessing their home and cleansing their home and bringing hope and cheer and good wishes and banishing any negativity around you, banishing the home of any negativity. And so there are a lot of things that are so deeply integrated into your. So, let's talk about a lot of us. And it's not a requirement to be a witch. I mean, Witches DNA 101 does not set requirements, except for that we don't do black magic here. We don't do anything that brings real true harm to people, okay? Gray magic sometimes, like the freezer spell, very light things. But we always wish well. Wish for a blessing for the person, not ill will. Depending on the circumstances, of course. Now, back in the day, the witches did not, were not required to have a moral code. So the not doing harm to others did not equate to them. So I'm not saying that you can't, that you have to work within a moral code. I'm saying that Witches DNA 101 does. But know that no matter if you do or if you don't, karma will always be there. Karma will always be around. And karma can be cruel too. Because the cruelest thing karma can do is to let you get away with bullshit. And then come back for you when you least expect it. So you gotta be careful. Ain't nobody can destroy karma. That is the biggest lie out there. If somebody says that they can get rid of bad karma for you, if you pay them a certain service for it, then don't believe it, because that karma is still going to be there for you. It's going to be there waiting, either in this life or in the after. And if you believe in past lives, which I completely and totally do, and you don't like the life you're living in right now, you might have been having some karma that carried over from the life before. So this might be actually one of the shortest podcasts. No, I'm allowed an hour, 60 minutes. And normally I'm like skating, like just short of that, like maybe 59 minutes or 54 minutes. Now I'm at 41 and a half minutes. So enjoy it to the fullest. And don't feel sorry for it. Okay? Don't feel you have to put Christ in Christmas because the church tells you to. Because the church knows that it lied. How are you going to be a theologian and still carry the lie? And true, a lot of these theological colleges and a lot of the pulpit preachers that never been to one just regurgitate the lie so other people can soup it up and then regurgitate it and keep it going that way, the ignorance. But we're witches. We don't have to believe the lie. We don't have to fall for it in any way. And there are witches who do follow the Bible, and they are brainwashed. Because a lot of what goes on in the Bible are folk tales that were passed, that were meant to be passed down and not taken literally. And some things, a lot of things are written, a lot of books were written by humans playing the telephone game. But just as Odin and Ra, the Egyptian sun, the Egyptians named the sun as for their sun god, is real. I totally believe that Father Sky is the same Father Sky that was Ra all the way to now. Is the same God. Father Sky just had different names. Mother Earth. She nurtures us. I believe Father Sky, Mother Earth. And the universe is a collection of a whole, everything, all in one. That is the Trinity to me. All right, so I will see you guys next time. And I will be coming back with the name of the witch that I cannot pronounce, but she was the Italian Christmas kidnapping. There is a Christmas Italian kidnapping witch or whatever, but I will be talking about the Italian Christmas traditions, or at least some of them. in the next podcast. So stay tuned and look out for that. And thank you all for returning. Thank you for the new people listening in. And if you have donated to my podcast, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Have fun. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.